Amen. The First Testament lesson this morning is from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. You can follow along in your pew Bible starting on page 10. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today we begin a new sermon series, and it's all about what it means to be Alleluia people. For those of you who weren't here on Easter, I talked about Alleluia people being those who in Christ, or because of their faith in Christ, are filled with gratefulness, joyfulness, and fearlessness. And so Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians, really sort of lays out what it looks like for people to be an Alleluia community. And so that's going to be the focus of our sermon series. Now you notice here it says resurrection people. This is what happens when bulletins are printed 2 to 3 weeks ahead of time, is things change. So next week it'll read Alleluia people. So the other thing about Ephesians, especially this opening part, is that whether you, in Greek, there are no periods, no commas, no paragraphs, and Paul often writes in what is sort of a stream of consciousness writing, and so sometimes it makes it hard to hear or to listen to, as well as to read, but we'll unpack it in a little bit. So let us listen to the first 14 verses of chapter 1 of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in his beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. So, I choose you. Several years ago, before we moved here, Cindy and I and our best friends, the Bulls from San Antonio, we decided to take a spring break trip. And none of us had ever been to Venice, so we made the trip to Venice. And one of the things we did was we rented a car in Venice so we could sort of explore the area. And ultimately, we ended up in Verona. And we ended up in Verona right about supper time. And so there's this big sort of open-air plaza there, and there are outdoor cafes. And so we were wandering along, looking at the menus. And for me, I was really looking for the cheapest price that we could get away with dinner. As Cindy will tell you, I can be really cheap. So we're looking, and suddenly, as we walk past this one open-air cafe, we hear this voice saying, you Americans, I choose you. You eat too fast. You don't know what to eat. You have no idea what to choose for dinner. I choose you to eat at my restaurant. Okay, how can you pass that up, right? And so we went in and we sat down and we said, well, what should we choose? And he says, I choose for you. Yeah, I could hear cha-ching, cha-ching. But to this day, I think Cindy and I and our friends agree, it was probably one of the best meals we have ever eaten, ever, anywhere. You Americans, I choose you. Now, what I want you to do for a minute is I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and imagine with me as I say those words, sort of imagine this man calling to you. And then I'm going to do something else. So close your eyes. You people, I choose you. So you have a feel for that, a sense of that. Now, rather than seeing this wonderful gray-haired Italian restaurant owner, I want you to imagine that you are listening to the voice of God. You, I choose you. Now open your eyes. Can you sense that for a moment? Can you sense what that's like to hear the voice of God saying, you, I choose you? If you can, then you can sense what it was those who first heard or read Paul's letter in that city of Ephesus, what they heard and felt. Because what Paul says to them is that they weren't part of that community, that family, because of fate or luck or happenstance. They were part of that community because God had chosen them. Listen again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. You and I are chosen people. Just as surely as Abraham and his descendants were chosen people, because that was that passage out of Genesis. God comes and chooses Abraham and says, okay, Abram and Sarai, you are going to be the family of this great nation, and you are going to bless the whole world, and you're going to be blessed by me, and you are chosen. And what Paul says is we too. We've been chosen by God to be Alleluia people. We're here not, I believe, not out of fate or luck or happenstance. We are here not just in this body, but in the worldwide community of Christ, because we are chosen by God in Christ to be a part of this. You, I choose you. Now, the gift of this passage is that as Paul pushes forward with this letter to help us see what it's like to be an Alleluia individual or an Alleluia community, the way it begins is that Paul tells us, shows us the meal, the spiritual meal that Christ has laid out for us that gives us the ability to be Alleluia people. That just like when Cindy and I and our friends sat at that table and he brought out these courses for us to eat, Paul offers us a five-course spiritual meal that says, here is the food that will sustain you as you grow into being Alleluia people. And so, here we go. Course one, the appetizer, redemption. Paul says, in him we have redemption through his blood. Now, redemption, what does that mean? It means taking something that is captive and pretty much useless and liberating it to live fully into what it is created to be. Now, I am going to date myself with this illustration. The first service, everybody knew it. Chances are here not. How many of you grew up or know what green stamps are? Now, okay, so for those of you who don't know what green stamps are, there were these little stamps that if you, when you filled up at the filling station or you went to the grocery store, you would get these little stamps and you'd have a book. And you would, my mother let us kids lick them and stick them in the book. It was always exciting. Then when you got enough green stamps and your book was full, you could go where? The Redemption Center. You'd go to the Redemption Center and you would redeem something out of it. I remember we redeemed a toaster, we redeemed a waffle iron, but you redeem them. And so it would take these poor waffle irons, useless, sitting on the shelf, and you would liberate them and take them home and they would become useful. They would live into the fullness of their identity as waffle makers. But that's what redemption is about. Redemption is about taking those things that are held captive and freeing them. And so that is what, that's the first course, is that we've been redeemed from being those who live in sort of a self-centric orbit where all that matters is us, to a Christ-centric orbit where we can be the people we're supposed to be. We can be Alleluia people helping others. So, first course, redemption. Second course, forgiveness. We have also in him have the forgiveness of our trespasses. All right. How many of you have ever been on a boat? Okay, so most of you. All right. One of the things a boat has is an anchor, right? And you put down the anchor, and the anchor makes sure you don't drift off or you don't go someplace. So I want you to think about sin as the anchor. An anchor that is dug deeply into the sand or the seabed, an anchor that's stuck on the rocks, an anchor that won't let you go anywhere, an anchor that won't let you make your destination. Because that's what sin is. Sin keeps us as we are. We can't progress as Alleluia people. And what forgiveness does is forgiveness is like bolt cutters that cuts the chain or the rope and suddenly we're free. We're free to grow. We are free to mature in Christ. We are free to become Alleluia people. And that's the second course. Not only have we been redeemed, but now that we're redeemed, we've been set free to flow with Christ, become the people Christ wants us to be. Third course, he has lavished on us, he says, with all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will. Course three is wisdom and insight. We can see where we're headed. We can see the kind of people we're supposed to be. We can see that we are supposed to be Christ-like people. That just as Christ has done it for those the least of those, we are to do it for the least of those. Just as Christ forgave, we are to forgive. Just as Christ showed compassion, we are to show compassion. We've been given the wisdom and insight to see our destination. That's course three. Course four, we have obtained an inheritance. In Christ, we've also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things. This is where Paul ties us back in with that Abram passage. Because if you remember the Abram passage, God chooses Abram and says, I am going to bless you so you can be a blessing to all nations. That's the inheritance that Abram and Sarai's children receive. They receive the blessing to be a blessing. That's the inheritance that we've received. And what that means is that this being an Alleluia people, being an Alleluia community, is not just about us. It's about taking what we receive from God in Christ and using it after the fashion that God calls us to use, after the fashion of Christ. We've received an inheritance of blessing that we might bless. And finally, course five, we have been marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. One of the fascinating things to me that when I was younger is the Gemini program, okay? Gemini space program leading up to Apollo, leading up to the moon. I think it was in Gemini that they did the very first space walks, okay? And they would have a camera that would record these walks, and as the astronauts stepped out of the capsule into space, they didn't have sort of the 2001 little buttons that jetpacks that would sort of move them around. They were tethered to the capsule by this wonderful tube that I think fed them oxygen and fed them electricity and gave them everything they need and made sure that they didn't just drift off into space. That's what the seal of the Holy Spirit is. The seal of the Holy Spirit is this tether that holds us to God in Christ, that doesn't let us drift too far away, that nourishes us, that empowers us, that gives us everything that we need. Those are the five courses that Paul tells us that all of us who've been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, this is the feast that is laid out for us. And this feast nourishes us so that we can be those people. But the best part of all of this is that it's already been paid for. When we were sitting at that table in Verona, it dawned on me we'd have to pay the check. And I think I began sweating a little as I pulled out my plastic, not sure how much it was going to cost. But this meal's been paid for by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our money is no good there. All of our good works won't earn this for us. All of our goodness won't earn it. All of our sins and failings and shortcomings won't stop the bill from being paid and the feast from being set. It's all paid for. That's the gift of being chosen in God before the foundation of the world, being chosen to be one of God's unique, amazing, special people. And so as the elements this morning are passed, as we feast at this table, I hope you will ask yourself this question. How am I allowing myself to be nourished by Christ's meal, that I may live as a chosen, alleluia person, now and always? Let us pray. Loving God, it is such a gift to know that you've chosen us, redeemed us, forgiven us, given us insight and an inheritance, and that you hold us fast forever. Help us to enjoy that feast and allow it to nurture us so we might go from this place as alleluia people, blessing all that we meet. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.